bittul. In halacha, bittul means nullification. And usually the way the nullification works is it's quantitative. You have two quantities, quantity X and Y, and quantity X significantly outweighs quantity Y. There's significantly more of quantity X than there is of quantity Y. And as a result, legally, we treat this system of X and Y as if Y is not present. Now, there are multiple varieties of bittul, but two of the most common ones we encounter are bittul b'rov, nullification by majority, meaning if you have a majority of X and a minority of Y, we'll view it as if Y is not present. And then, in cases of volume, a very common ratio is bittul b'shishim, nullification by 60, meaning that you have 60 units of volume X and one unit of volume Y, we'll view it as if volume Y is not present. Now, there are many applications of this, both min ha-Torah and mid-Rabbanon. And the dinim d'Rabbanon are going to be stricter than the dinim d'Oraisa. And then we have a lot of different types of mixtures that these dinim of bittul might apply to, and a lot of different categories of things which they might apply to as well. The mixtures we'll consider are a ta'areves min b'mina, which means a mixture of two like substances. Let's say 60 pieces of meat or 60 units of meat volume relative to one unit of meat volume of the same type of meat. Or then min b'eina mina, a mixture of two different types, type A and type B. So let's say you'd have 60 units of brisket sauce along with one unit of steak sauce. Another variable to consider are mixtures which are determined by their physical state. So you have mixtures of lach belach, which means a liquid with a liquid, lach beyovesh, which means a mixture of a type of liquid along with a solid. And then finally you have yovesh beyovesh, a mixture of two different solids. So now, in more detail, if you have an isser, if you have some forbidden food, which is mixed in permitted food, and the forbidden food is not recognizable such that you could pull it out, meaning, let's say you have some pork sauce which got mixed inside of your brisket stew, and you're not able to identify the pork sauce. So there are going to be distinctions whether you have a mixture of two things of the same type, meaning if you have an isser and a heter, a forbidden food and a permitted food, which are of the same type and they have the same taste. So an example here would be, let's say you have kosher brisket, which mixes with nevela brisket. Nevela brisket is brisket which comes from a cow which is not shechted. Now, nevela brisket and kosher brisket basically taste the same. And imagine the nevela brisket was salted. I mean, the difference in taste between a kosher brisket and a nevela brisket may not even exist. And even if it does, it's likely indiscernible. So that's one type of mixture, a tareves of min b'mina. You're not able to discern what's the nevela and what's the shchuta, what's the properly shechted meat and what's the nevela meat. And then you'll have a tareves min b'she'ena mina, which is the example we gave before, of one type with another type, the brisket together with the pork sauce. And then we're going to see that there are also different rules depending on the mixture's state. Is it a solid and a liquid? Two solids, two liquids. Let's dive in. Min ha-Torah, the rule is that if you have a min b'mina, if you have two substances of the same type in a mixture, which have the same taste, then the isser is batel b'rov. It's nullified in the majority. So that would mean that if the heter has more substances of greater quantity than the isser, the entire mixture is permitted. And that's true whether we're dealing with solids or whether we're dealing with liquids. So, for example, if you have two pieces of basar shchuta and one piece of basar nevela, then that mixture would be permissible. You'd be able to eat all three pieces. Or if you had 40 units of kosher beef stew, and then you had 20 volume units of non-kosher beef stew, of nevela beef stew, since it's all the same taste, you're not able to discern between the shchut and nevela, min ha-Torah, that entire mixture would be permitted. Now, when it comes to a min be'enei mina, that the taste of the isser is different from the taste of the heter, and the example we gave was brisket and pork juice, then if it's a mixture of two liquids, or a liquid and a solid, that then the taste of the isser is going to permeate the heter because they're being mixed, and the taste of the iser might be discernible, you need a shir shishim, you need a quantity of 60 units of heter relative to the iser. And the reason being that Chazal's chemical assessment is that once you have 60 quantity units of something relative to something else, you're not able to taste the iser. The iser is batel because it's not tasteable. But if it's a mixture of yavish b'yavish, if you have different types which are indiscernible, let's say you have 10 pieces of cow flank and one piece of pig flank, which is indiscernible from the cow flank. So in such a case, even though they have a different taste, Reiv is going to be sufficient minatira. As long as you have majority of kosher, all of the pieces are going to be considered mutter, given that there's no mixture and the non-kosher taste is not permeating any of the others. It's possible that you'll end up eating the non-kosher thing, and if you taste it, it's non-kosher, you'll end up spitting it out. But that said, given that the non-kosher does not permeate the kosher, even though they are of a different type, we say that Reiv, that the majority is sufficient, you don't need shishim, you don't need a quantity of 60 relative to the iser. Now, Midr Abanon, things are a little bit stricter. If you have a min be'enu min, if you have two different types, then you will always need 60 units of heter relative to iser, even if it's a mixture of yavish be'yavish. So if you had 60 pieces of kosher meat, and then you had one piece of non-kosher meat, which was visibly indiscernible from the other 60, even though it has a different taste, in such a case, the din derabban would be that only if you have the 60 pieces of kosher meat relative to the one piece of non-kosher meat, would it be permitted for you to eat all the pieces. If, however, you only had 40 pieces of kosher meat and one piece of non-kosher, that would not be permitted. And why is that? So the din derabbanon is a gzeira shemi yavashlem yachad. It's a concern that you might come to eat them together. And then the forbidden food will confer taste into the permitted food. When dealing with lach bilach, dealing with two liquids which mix together. So here again, then their abundant is going to be more stringent. Even if the lach bilach is min b'minoi, and the tastes of the two liquids are indiscernible, we will not say that reiv is enough. We will not say the majority kosher is enough. But you still need 60 units of heter relative to the unit of iser. And the reason why Chazal made that stringency was a gzeir atu min be'ene min. That you might think, oh, since we were lenient in the case of two liquids which were of the same type, we should similarly be lenient in a case of two liquids which are of a different type. So it comes out the only case in which we'll allow reiv midir abanon is in a case of min b'minoi yavish b'yavish, of two identical sorts of things. For example, two pieces of shchuta cow leg, two pieces of kosher cow leg relative to one piece of nevela cow leg, where it's indiscernible which one is which. In such a case, midir abanon, we would say that that's permissible. Nonetheless, Chazal further said that one person is not allowed to eat these three cow legs at one time, or these three cow ribs at one time. And the reason being, if you eat them all at one time, then you're inevitably going to be eating the non-kosher piece. And it looks like you're eating the non-kosher piece. Whereas, for eating them in three different settings, you could say, well, maybe this is the kosher piece, maybe it's not, this is the non-kosher piece, and that would be a legitimate thing to say. However, l'chatchila, ultimately we say that you shouldn't eat all three of them. You should eat two and throw away one on the assumption that this one is the non-kosher one. We mentioned the concept of min b'minon, as in one type mixed with its own type. Say, a bit of nevela meat along with shchuta meat of the same type, or a min b'enen meat, two meats of a different type. The question is, how do we determine type? What's considered a type? So the Shach tells us that type is determined by taste. If you have two items which have the same taste, they're considered to be of the same type. So if you have your nevela meat and your shchuta meat, but they're both nevela brisket and shchuta brisket, and they have the same taste, that would be sufficient to render them the same type. The Rama in Siman Tzadi Ches says that min,
that type is determined by what something is called and not by its taste. So if you had two pieces of meat and one is called nis lokal beef and the other is called brisket, even though they have the same taste, the Rama would say that these are two different types. However, the Shach there in Simon Tzadiches, if Katan Vav, writes a long essay in the name of the Rishonim and the Poskim, arguing that min is determined by tam, by taste, and not by shame, not by what something is called. Generally, in Itzer V'Heter, in mixtures of kosher and non-kosher food, the sheer bittel, as we've seen, particularly for lach b'lach, is going to be shishim, is going to be 1 to 60. So we need 60 units volume of kosher relative to one volume of treif in order to make the treif batel, in order to make the treif as if it's not there. Another area in Allah where bitl b'shishim is if you have truma or chala, which got mixed up in chulin, which got mixed up in unconsecrated grains, min be'enei minoy, there the shir bitl is b'shishim as well, midei raisa. But if you have min b'minoy, let's say you have some bread that were, or some dough that was taken for a fresh challah, and it got mixed in with regular dough, with chulin dough, with non-consecrated dough. So there, midei rabbanon, we say that the shir bittul is echad umeya. It has to be a ratio of 1 to 100, meaning there has to be 100 units of chulin bread to be mevatel the 1 unit of challah bread. And the Rambam passed in this way in Hilchos Machol Suris, Perek Tisvav Halacha Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinchov Gimel brings this down as well. Another case where Dinei Zroyim, another case where agricultural stringencies are going to yield a higher ratio than Shishim, is by Arla or Kilei Haker. Arla are the fruits of trees in Eretz Yisrael within the first 3 years of their growth, and Kilei Hakerim are grafted plants or hybrid plants, which got mixed up with plants that you are allowed to eat, meaning Arla and Kilei Hakerim are also b'achila. So if Arla or Kilei Hakerim got mixed up with Heter, then if the mixture is min be'enei minoi, say for example that you have Arla Esrog jam along with Heter lemon jam, then we would say the shir bittul is shishim, 1 to 60. However, if it's min be'minoi, if you have Arla Esrog jelly mixed with Heter Esrog jelly, then midir abanon, the shir bittul is echad umasoyim. Meaning you would need 200 units of kosher, of permissible Esrog jelly, relative to 1 unit of the Heter. So that's by Arla and Kilei Hakerim. The shir bittul is echad umasoyim. And the Rambam passes that way there in Malchol Suris, Perek Tzayin Halach Yudalid, and the Shach in Shulchan Aruch Yodeis and Tzadiches of Kodem Chav Zayin also codifies that Shir Bittul of Orla Min Biminoi is Batul only Echad Bimasoim. Now, there are instances where there is no Bittul at all, meaning no matter what quantity of permissible food you have relative to Usher food, the Usher food will always be considered as if it is present, and will therefore asr the entire mixture, will therefore make the entire mixture forbidden to eat. This is a category of things which are enum betelim afilu be'elef, even 1,000 units are not able to nullify them, and they're enum betelim olim. First example of this is tevel, which was mixed beheter min beminoi, is oyser b'kol shu, it forbids even with the smallest amount. So tevel is untithed grain. So let's say you had a 1 untithed grain, which goes into a silo of 100,000 grains of tithed grain, of grain which Meiser was taken on, the tevel would still asser the entire silo of grain. Similarly, if you have peres shvius, if a farmer was, say, growing grapes in his field during the Shemitah year and selling those grapes commercially, instead of making the grapes hefker, instead of allowing anybody who wanted to eat the grapes eat them, then if one of these peres shvius, if one of these grapes that the farmer grew during the Shemitah year fall into an entire vat of 100,000 grapes, which are mutter, which were not grown during the Shemitah year or not grown during the Shemitah year for profit, that one shvi'is grape would aser the entire vat of heter grapes. In Yerideya 7 Kuf Mem, we learn that Avodah Zarah, and anything that was brought for Avodah Zarah, anything that was offered to Avodah Zarah, is also going to be Oyser B'mashahu, is never going to be in this battle. So let's say there was a house of idolatry which was using wafers for their religious service. So if you have, and let's say they even purchased some kosher wafers, and they purchased some kelim grape juice to do the idolatry service. So imagine that one wafer that was used in the service but not eaten falls into a box of 100,000 kosher wafers. This one wafer, which is also kosher, which was used in the idolatrous ceremony, would aser the entire mixture of wafers. And similarly, if one drop of the kedem grape juice, which was used during the service, fell into 1,000,000 gallons of kedem grape juice, it also would aser, it would forbid the entire quantity of grape juice. Yayin nesech, wine that was used for libations to idolatry, or alternatively, any non-Jewish wine, because there's concern that if the wine was produced by non-Jews, it might have been used for libations. There is a little bit of complexity here, meaning there's not necessarily the concern that the non-Jews are using it for libations, but there is a broader concern that if Jews and non-Jews drink too much wine together, they might ultimately come to fraternize too much and to assimilate. Whatever the case may be, the rule by Yayin Nesech, by libation wine, is if you have Yayin Nesech be'enoy minoy, it's oyser b'nei sentam. So let's say that you had some rosé Yayin Nesech, which fell into a bottle of kosher Cabernet. So if you're able to discern a taste change as a result of the rosé, then the Yayin Nesech is okay, meaning it doesn't ruin your Cabernet, and you can drink your kosher Cabernet. However, if you had a drop of Yayin Nesech Cabernet, which fell into kosher Cabernet, the Yayin Nesech would ruin the entire Cabernet, and you wouldn't be allowed to consume it. Another case of Isser Mashu is by chametz. If you have chametz on Pesach, which falls into any mixture, whether the chametz is of the same variety of the mixture it fell into, or it's of a different variety, either way, the chametz is going to forbid the entire mixture. So we just discussed the list of things which, based on their legal status, are going to have a very stringent shir bittul, and in many cases are not going to be nisbatel at all. Just to review, those were tevel, peiros shvi'is, the fruits of the Shemitah year, avodah zarah v'tikruvta, which is idolatry and things that were idolatrous substances and things that were brought to idolatry, as in a substance becomes idolatrous if it's worshipped. So let's say that you had a date palm tree that was worshipped, you had people bowing down to the date palm tree, and then you took the hearts of palm. So those hearts of palm would have the status of Avodah Zarah. So we said that Avodah Zarah v'tikruvta are osir even b'mashu, or they're oyser, they forbid a mixture. Even b'mashu, yayin nesech, min b'minoy is oyser b'mashu, and chometz b'pesach is oyser mashu. But that entire list is things which, given their legal status, they osir a mixture. Moving on, we have a list of items which are also never batel, which are not batel no matter what quantity of kosher food you have, which would seem to cancel them out. But these things don't derive their notoriety, they don't derive their non-bitalability from the fact that they have a certain legal status, but rather from the fact that they are discernible, or we view them as significant, and you can't reasonably say that they should be batel, that we should view them as if they're not there. The members of this list are a birya, which is a whole animal. So as in, let's say you have a mouse, which falls into a mixture, or let's say you have an entire bug, which falls into a mixture, that would be considered a birya. Next, you have a chaticha horu'iyo l'skabit, which literally means a piece of meat, or a chunk, which one could be honored with, meaning something that you would be able to serve at an important dinner, that you'd be able to serve to an important guest, that too would not be batel in a mixture. The third member of this list of things which are not batel, as a result of their seeming importance or their individuality, is a dover shebeminyan, something which is countable. An example of this would be eggs. Since eggs are countable, eggs are not batel.
as in if you have hard-boiled eggs. The members of this list, the birya, the chatich or l'skabit, and the v'sheminyan, they're not batel, whether they fall into a like mixture or an unlike mixture, whether they fall into min b'minay or min b'she'ene minay. A further member of this list of things which are never batel is a dovar sheyesh le'matirin, something which will become mutter. The classic example, dovar sheyesh le'matirin, comes up in Beitza daf gimel amid beis. If you have a Beitza shenolda b'yomtif, an egg which is born on yomtif, so it's usher now because it has the status of neilad, it emerged on yomtif, so you wouldn't be able to enjoy it, but after yomtif it will become mutter. But until after yomtif, this egg would not become batel, no matter how much heter you mixed in with the egg. The details of these dvarim chashuvim, these things that we would consider important, and therefore they're not batel, that we consider to be individuals, no matter how much you have opposite them, the birya, the chatichur l'skabed, the dovash of minyan, and dovash yishlamatirin, all those are discussed in Simanim Kuf, Kuf Aleph, Kuf Beis, and Kuf Yud. An interesting detail about these items that we discussed, which min b'mina, you have a higher threshold of bittel. You have the truma or chala, that their shir bittel is echad b'meya. The arlan kelea kerem, that their shir bittel is echad b'mesoy. And then you have the tevel, the per shviyis, the ayinesech, and those shematirin, which are all iser b'mashu. So there, when we say min b'mina, the same type, is determined not by taste, but rather by their name. Meaning, if they have the same taste, but they're called by different names, then we would not subject them to the very stringent categories of bittel. A final instance where the shir shishim, where the quantity, the ratio of 60 to 1, would not work to mevatel something, is if you have something which is primarily made to add taste or to spice something up. So, if you have salt or cumin, or some other spice like that, so long as the taste is discernible, it's never going to be batel. In this year, we learned about the concept of bittel, the concept of nullification. We saw the basic principle was that very often in halacha, something can be present, but we will judge it as if it's not there, if it's quantitatively outweighed by a higher ratio of heter, by a higher ratio of permitted items. We saw there are many permutations of bittel, depending on the state of the substance, depending on whether we're dealing with something that's lach, a fluid, or yovesh, a solid. It also depends whether the mixture of iser and heter is min b'mina of the same type, and we said generally same type means of the same taste, or min b'she'ene mina, two things of different types, meaning of different tastes. We saw that generally speaking, the ratio for bittel in shishim is 1 to 60. Although we saw that there was an exception to this, yavesh b'yavesh min b'minay, where we would follow Rav. But we said generally speaking, the shir bittel is echad b'shishim, 60 units of kosher to 1 unit of non-kosher. Now, we saw that there are numerous exceptions to this rule, in cases of iser v'heter, particularly having to do with seder zroim, agricultural things, and also having to do with things that are related to avodah zarah. So there we saw that there are different ratios of bittel, much higher ratios of bittel, and for avodah zarah there is no bittel. And finally, we saw that there are multiple exceptions in cases of things which are considered individuatable, are considered individuals, and they will not lose their status no matter how much heter you have opposite these things. We thought those were the birya, a whole animal, a chaticha or a l'skabed, a piece of meat that you would serve to an important guest, and finally a davar shad minyan, something that's countable.